I'm ready for that deal.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
You know, trading in this earthly stuff, especially when you don't have anything here anyway, right? What a deal. You're not going to get a better deal than that in life. Mansion and robe and crown. But in order to get that, we've got to be ready. I do want to say good morning to all of you. It's good to see all the faces before us this morning, all of us here to worship God. And I'm especially excited this morning, but I usually am on Lord's Day morning. I don't know. I think my outward demeanor defies what I feel inside, but whether I look excited or not, I am.
That's all right, bro.
Okay. And I'm especially excited to start this new theme from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The battle belongs to the Lord. And it's based on the 15th verse of that chapter, actually the 14th and 15th verse. And it reads, "He said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
That's all right.
Now, there is many passages in the Bible that reflect this same thought, this same idea. And over the coming weeks, Lord willing, I know we will be exploring some of those. I don't think this text is going to be like the last one where the majority of the time we're actually in the text. This is an idea that is suggested. And as we go through the lesson this morning, I'm not going to have time to comment a whole lot because we're going to be covering a lot of material. But a lot of ideas are going to come to mind, a lot of things that could be explored around this particular passage. Now, the obvious question that I'd like to look at today and discuss is, what do we do? You know, as I look out among us, I know the problems of many of you, not all of them, but I know some of the problems of many of you. And I know that every one of you here this morning has some problems. You all do. That's the nature of life. And like I've said before, even a little kids, they got problems too, mm-hmm. Right? We all do. It's the nature of living upon this earth.
Amen.
But what do we do now as adults when we're faced with an impossible task? Or if not impossible, the odds just seem stacked against us. Seems as if we're not gonna win the battle we're in. What do we do when we know we can't win? Now, by way of introduction to our theme, we're gonna be looking at chapters 17 through 20. Now, I'm not going to read all of that. It would just take too long. In fact, it might take too long. I'm just going to paraphrase. That might take too long too. But I'll try to keep that from happening. But we're going to be talking about a part of the story of King Jehoshaphat. And it's a fascinating story. That there's a couple of major events we're going to discuss this morning, and they're absolutely fascinating to me. And like I said, as we go through this, I know ideas are going to pop in your head, and you're going to say, wow, that would be a good study, because it's so filled with those kinds of things. But today, we're going to explore the events leading up to verses 14 and 15, and I think this is important. This is kind of what I want to do to set the tone for where we're going with this study. We always talk about the context and being in context. And I don't think we can just read these verses and be in context. We have to know what led this prophet to speak these words.
Amen.
And then we can begin to understand how these things might apply to us today. Now, the setting for these chapters is during the period of history when the kingdom of Israel had become divided into the northern kingdom, which was comprised of 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, which was comprised of 2 tribes. Now, the northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And if you read it in the scriptures, sometimes you'll see it referred to as Ephraim. Now, Ahab was the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Now, I'm not going to have time, in the reading we do here, we're gonna come to an understanding that King Ahab is evil. But in the scriptures that we cover, I don't think we're going to get the full picture of just how evil that he was. I'm not going to explore that this morning. And by the way, Jezebel, his wife, was worse than him. So you know, it's a bad deal here. He's evil. We'll just keep that in mind. Now, Jehoshaphat, and this, I love the Bible and the characters. Jehoshaphat was a good guy. He was a good king, and his father Asa before him was a good king too. But what I like about the Bible is it tells the whole story. And the whole story is Jehoshaphat and his father Asa were a lot like those of us here who are good people. They weren't perfect.
No.
They made some mistakes, and we're going to see that Jehoshaphat did as we look through this morning. And so Jehoshaphat became king when his father Asa died. And Jehoshaphat made Judah strong so that they could fight against the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, keep in mind, that was his concern. They were at odds with one another. And his concern was that the north would invade the south and they wouldn't be able to withstand the onslaught. So he stationed soldiers all over the land, troops. And so he put them in the towns and the villages that his father had captured. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because, and it tells us, because he walked in the ways of King David, a man after God's own heart, it tells us.
Amen.
And he didn't ask for help from the idols of Baal. Well, that would seem to be a given. Well, it wasn't. Idolatry was a big problem at that time among God's people. And he didn't follow the evil practices of the northern kingdom of Israel. So God gave Jehoshaphat control over the kingdom of Judah, and he became very wealthy, and he was highly esteemed, and things were pretty good. And Jehoshaphat always called on God for help. And he obeyed his commands. Sounds like a good guy.
Yep.
He didn't live as the evil King Ahab lived. He had a great desire. Now notice this. This is something that we need to develop. He had a great desire to please God.
Amen.
That's important. He understood that please God, he needed to obey God.
Amen.
That's important. And he removed the Asherah idols from the land, and he went about the land and removed all of the idols to Baal and all of the things that the people worshipped instead of God he took out of the land. And so as a result, God blessed Jehoshaphat with strength, wealth, and honor.
Amen.
Now Jehoshaphat also sent officials to teach. This is a good thing, isn't it? Teaching, learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
He recognized that ignorance in a land was not a good thing. And he sent people to teach in the towns of Judah. And he sent Levites and priests along with them to teach from God's book of law. He recognized that people needed to know what God said. And they needed to be taught to know this. As Jehoshaphat's power increased, he built strong walled cities, and he kept many supplies in these cities and in the towns of Judah, and he kept many trained soldiers at strategic points throughout the land. He was ready for the attack from the north. He prepared for that. And the nations outside were afraid. They were afraid of Judah, but really not. They were afraid of the God of Judah. That's what they were afraid of. They had seen God at work. They knew what he could do. So they feared going to war against Jehoshaphat. So things were good. Things were good in the land of Jehoshaphat, in the land of Judah. Things were good, but there's always a but, isn't there? Jehoshaphat, like I said, he was a good guy, but he messed up a bit. And as we begin the 18th chapter, we see that Jehoshaphat kind of decides to, he didn't want to fight with Israel, so he kind of decides to take matters into his own hands, I believe, is what we're reading here. And so he arranged to have his son marry the daughter of Ahab. That seemed to ensure an alliance. So Israel could be family now. And so a few years later, Jehoshaphat went to Samaria to visit Ahab. And then Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to take the land of Ramoth in Gilead. Now, Jehoshaphat is kind of in a pickle here, whether he really wanted to go to war with these people or not. He has made an alliance with the king. He wants to keep that alliance so he doesn't have to fight with Israel. But Jehoshaphat, he still remains true to his God. At least he hasn't banded God altogether. And he says, okay, I'll do that, but first, let's find out what the Lord says about this matter. Another lesson we could learn, right? Well, this all sounds like a good idea, but what does God think about this? Maybe we should talk to God first. And so Ahab, now get this, he called 400, I don't know why 400, but that's a lot of men, for, 400 prophets. He called 400 prophets before him and asked them, should we go to war against Ramoth and Gilead, or should we look back? And what do you think they said? They all, now get 400 men. Where can you get 400 men and put them together and have them come to agreement about anything? That all of them are going to say the thing, same thing. It doesn't happen, does it? But they all said, yeah, Ahab, go to war. Fight Ramoth of Gilead, and God will give you victory. But Jehoshaphat, he's still a man of God. He sees these 400 men, and he knows what they are. They're not prophets of God. They don't know anything. And so he says, now get this, he says, is there not one? He's only asking one, not 400. Is there not one prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question. Now, what is the implication here? 400 verses 1. He's telling them, I don't care about these 400 prophets here. They don't speak for the Lord. That's implication, isn't it?
Yeah.
They don't speak for the Lord. I just want one man that will speak God's word.
Amen.
That will tell us what God really wants. And so Ahab, he says, well, There is one man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. You hear that? Now, wait a minute. He speaks for the Lord, but you hate him. Who is it that Ahab really hates? He never prophesies, and now Ahab said, he never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat replied, that's not the way a king should talk. Well, how about that? Jehoshaphat knew better than this. If this man is a prophet of God and he speaks for God, you shouldn't speak of hating him. And if he prophesies bad concerning you, understand what prophecy is. Prophecy doesn't cause things to happen. Prophecy is just telling you what is going to happen. And so Micaiah doesn't make things happen. He just tells people what's going to happen. But Jehoshaphat says, don't talk like that. I want to hear what this man has to say. So they sent an official to Micaiah. And while they waited, all of Ahab's prophets, boy, they had a day, right? They put on a show of prophecy for the people to see and telling him exactly what he wanted to hear. Go up, Ahab, to Ramoth of Gilead and be victorious. The Lord will give the king victory. That was safe, huh?
Yeah.
That's the safe way to talk to Ahab, you know. He might not be kind to you if you didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. Now, meanwhile, the messenger that went to get Micaiah said to him, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Make sure you agree with them. He's telling Micaiah this. Now, Micaiah, you know, he reminds me of a lot here of Peter and John when they were arrested in Acts. Remember that? And he told them not to speak the name of the Lord anymore. And Micaiah says that he's going to say only what is revealed to him. He's going to say what he has seen and heard of God. That's all he can tell. And that's the same as Peter and John said, right? They're just going to prophesy what God has revealed to them to be the truth. When Micaiah arrived, Ahab asked him, should we go or should we stay? And Micaiah replied, well, yeah, go up and be victorious and have victory over them. Now, there must have been something in the way that Micaiah said that. I'm thinking he might have been just a bit sarcastic. And Ahab knew that. He knew by the way that Micaiah said this, he knew Micaiah was being sarcastic, and he said to Micaiah, how many times must I demand that you speak only the truth? Speak only the truth, he said. And so, you know, it reminds me, you remember the movie, A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth, Ahab. Right? Says, speak the truth to me. You can't handle the truth. And so Micaiah told him, all right, you want the truth? In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountain like sheep without a shepherd. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? I saw all Israel scattered like a sheep without shepherd. And the Lord said, their master has been killed. Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace. And King Ahab says, see, I told you. I told you he never says anything good. He only prophesies trouble for me. And so Micaiah continued. Micaiah wasn't done. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the enemies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, now listen to this. This is so good. Who can entice King Ahab of Israel to go into battle against Ramoth in Gilead so he can be killed? Now there were many suggestions. And finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. How will you do this? The Lord asked. And the Spirit said, I will go out and inspire all of Ahab's prophets to speak lies. Wow. He's telling this to Ahab now. Mm-hmm. His life is in jeopardy. It is. And the Lord said, you will succeed. He knew Ahab. Go ahead and do it. And so they did. All of these prophets lied to Ahab. You know what Ahab did then? He put Micaiah in jail. He arrested him. And he said, feed him only bread and water until I return safely from the battle. Micaiah had one last thing to say. He said, mark my words, Ahab, and all of you who are listening to me, mark my words. If you return safely, then the Lord has not spoken through me. Now, Ahab, don't you think he knew this was a prophet of the Lord? He's the one that told Jehoshaphat that he was. But Ahab was a vain man. And so he thought that he could outsmart God. He was powerful. He was strong. And so he decided, never mind what the prophet of the Lord said, I'm going to get out of this and I'm not going to die in battle. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat went to Ramoth in Gilead. And King Ahab disguised himself. I don't know exactly what he did. It sounds like he put on a regular soldier's uniform and dressed like one of the troops so that he would just blend in. What I think is, well, who's he think he's disguising himself from? And there's another lesson, isn't it? Sometimes we try to hide. Who are we hiding from?
Well,
are we hiding from God? That's who he was trying to hide from.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can hide from men, but you can't hide from God. And then he had, now I don't know what Jehoshaphat was thinking here. I really don't. Because I know he was a pretty smart guy, but he had Jehoshaphat wear his royal clothes. And Jehoshaphat did that. I don't know. Meanwhile, the invading king, he issued orders to the chariot commanders. And he said, attack only the king of Israel. Forget everybody else. I don't care about all the other men. I want Ahab dead. Do not bother with anyone else. But Ahab was smart, right? They didn't know who he was or where he was. And so the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat in the royal clothes, and they went after him. Now, Jehoshaphat's been making some bad decisions here, but he made a good one. He's in trouble. He made a good one, and he called out to God for help. And God helped him by turning the attackers away. And so then the chariot commanders realized that he was not the king. And I'm thinking they were a little bit frustrated. They couldn't find the king. They didn't know where he was. So they stopped chasing Ahab, or they stopped chasing Jehoshaphat, and they thought they failed. In fact, they did fail, didn't they? They were unable to kill the king of Israel. But God had not failed. Now, Ahab did deal successfully with these men, but he hasn't dealt with God yet. Now, this is the providence of God. That's another thing we could, but things that happen, that just seem to just happen in the ordinary living, that God prompts to happen without a miracle. And this is one of those things. For some unknown reason, now it's not really unknown, we know why, but someone, without a name here, drew his bow, and apparently out of frustration, he shot a random arrow toward the army of Ahab. You say, well, so what? Well, this arrow hit the king. It hit King Ahab. By chance? I think not. Now, keep in mind, Ahab had on armor. And an arrow would not pierce the armor that Ahab had on. But you know what? By bad luck, some would say, It went in between the pieces of armor, the arrow.
Uh-huh.
And it hit Ahab, and it wounded him. It badly wounded him, and so he retreated. And the battle went on all day long. And then at sunset, Ahab died. Ahab died. He was smart, but not smarter than God. Micaiah, I don't know what happened to Micaiah. I tried to find out, and I just really don't know. Maybe he stayed in jail, maybe he didn't. But I know one thing, he spoke the truth, and Ahab defied God, and Ahab died.
Amen.
Chapter 19, Jehoshaphat returns safely home from battle. And there, a man named Jehu was there. He was a seer, and he asked Jehoshaphat a good question. He said, "Why did you help evil people and love those who hate the Lord?" Good question, huh? Maybe we could ask ourselves that sometimes. Maybe when we spend too much time with people who do not promote what God teaches. And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Because of what you have done, the Lord is very angry with you." I don't want the Lord angry with me. And I know Jehoshaphat didn't either.
Amen.
I know Jehoshaphat took this to heart. I think he recognized, you'll see in his behavior after this, that he made a mistake.
Amen.
So Jehoshaphat began to appoint judges throughout the land to dispense justice and make the justice system and the nation work better. And he gave them on instructions on judging righteously. Judging with God in mind. Then, chapter 20. And that's the chapter we've been leading up to here, isn't it?
Yeah.
In chapter 20, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some, it says, some of the Menuhites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Now, I don't know particularly why they chose to do this. We know previous to this, they were afraid to fight Jehoshaphat because of God. But maybe they saw something in the things that had occurred here that indicated to them they could beat Jehoshaphat. And so when Jehoshaphat learned that the attacking forces were on their way, he was afraid. He feared, you know. And so I find myself afraid sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
I fear. And so what did Jehoshaphat do? What do you do when you're afraid? Jehoshaphat asked the Lord what to do. Then he ordered, now get this, he ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting and praying about this special time.
Amen.
We can do that, brothers and sisters, in the church today. And we have done it on occasion, but we could do more of that. Fasting and praying at a special time for a special event when we need God's intervention. That's what they did. So the people of Israel, they came together and Jehoshaphat stood before them and prayed. This is a leader. This is a real leader. A man who will stand before his people and say, "I don't know what to do. I'm going to pray to God for an answer."
That's a good point. Good point.
Oh Lord God, our ancestors, of our ancestors, you alone are God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. You forced out the people who lived in this land. You forced them out as your people Israel moved in, and you gave this land to the descendants of your friend Abraham. They lived in this land and built a temple worshiping you. They said, now listen to this, they said, "Wherever we are faced with any trouble, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you and you will hear." That's what Jehoshaphat prayed. But now, he continues, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Now, again, perhaps the next few lines Jehoshaphat could have left out of his prayer, because it sounds a little bit like questioning God to me. But nevertheless, he goes on and says, you wouldn't let the Israelites enter their lands when the Israelites came from Egypt, so the Israelites turned away and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave to us as an inheritance. God punished them. We have no power against this large army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, so we look to you for help. We look to you for the answer, God, because we don't know what to do. Have you been in that situation? This is a situation where they recognize, and I'm sure they were right, they cannot defeat this army. If this army invades them, they will win militarily. And that leads us up to our scripture here, the one that we want to look at. And then the Spirit of the Lord entered Jehaziel. And he said, listen to me, King Jehoshaphat. Now, keep in mind, this is the Holy Spirit talking to Jehoshaphat. Listen to me. Listen, all people living in Judah and Jerusalem. The Lord says this to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this large army. Don't be afraid or discouraged when you feel you can't win. Call on God. Ask him for help. Ask him to intercede. And it says the battle is not yours but God's.
Amen.
That's all right.
Every battle that we can't win, and the truth is we can't win any of them, that's the truth,
amen,
is God's.
Yeah.
The battle belongs to the Lord. So he says, tomorrow, go down there. You won't need to fight this battle. Now, I'm thinking, you know, we talked about faith this morning in class. I'm thinking this required a little bit of faith. The Spirit is telling them to go down there. He's not telling them that they can beat these people. He's not saying, he's telling them to go down there and you won't need to fight. They believed it. Just stand strong in your places. What? Go down there with this army with all of their gear and their killing stuff, you know, and stand before them and not to fear and just stand in my places. And he says, you will see the Lord save you.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. Now, some people might have thought, I ain't doing that. You might be tempted to think, I ain't doing that. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us all. But Jehoshaphat bowed. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem bowed down before the Lord. And they worshiped him. Some Levites stood up and praised the Lord with loud voices. They shouted out praise to God. They believed what God said. They recognized that they would be delivered. Now, as Jehoshaphat's army started out, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, now get this. He said, listen to me, people of Judah and Jerusalem. Have faith. You hear that? Have faith in the Lord your God. Then you will stand strong. Have faith in the Lord's prophets, then you will succeed. I think we fail too many times just because we don't have faith in
Amen.
God and his prophets.
Amen.
We don't believe he will deliver us. Mm-hmm. Then he chose, now this is just hard for me to picture really as a human being. Then he chose singers to the Lord. Singers, not warriors. He chose singers to the Lord, and they were to praise the Lord because he is holy and wonderful, and they marched in front of the army. Okay? Singers. And you're thinking, wow, the enemy must have been scared, right? People singing, right? But that's what he did, and they sang, "Thank the Lord, his love continues forever." Amen. Now, the very moment they began to sing and give praise to the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Edom to start fighting among themselves. And they killed each other. You say, now, wait a minute, that can't happen. It did. It did. They killed each other. And when the army of Judah arrived, all they saw were dead bodies. The Lord said they wouldn't need to fight. Well, there wasn't anybody to fight. They were all dead. No one, it says, no one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his army came to take the spoils. And they just came in and they picked out all of the good stuff and carried away. But there was so much, it took them 3 days to gather it all.
Wow.
The Lord blessed them. On the fourth day, Jehoshaphat and his army met and praised the Lord, and God gave them peace from all the countries around them. That's not the end of the story, but that's where we're going to stop this morning. And you can see what led up to this passage, I think. So, what do we do? After all of this, what do we do when we find ourselves in a battle we can't win? Well, let me tell you something. You're in one. You're in a battle you can't win. Two battles I can think of you can't win. You're in a physical battle for life.
Yep.
You're going to lose it.
Yep.
Your physical life will be lost. I battle for mine. Don't you? I try to hang on to it. I go to the doctors and do all this stuff. I'm battling for my life, but I know it's a losing proposition. Mm-hmm. I can't win that battle. But you know what else? I'm in a battle against sin, and so are you.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't win that one either. You can't. When I say you, I'm saying you. You and I, from our strength and what we have done, we are losing both of those battles.
That's right.
So what do? We give it to God.
Amen.
We do what they did. We pray to God and we give it to God and we obey and we have faith and we do what God tells us to do. And you won't win the battle for life physically, ever. But you can win the battle for spiritual life when you give your life to Him.
Amen.
And that's what I'm encouraging us all to do. It's the only way. It's the only way to succeed in this life is to recognize it through obedience, by taking advantage of the blood of Christ and allowing that to make the difference in our lives, allowing that to cleanse us of our sins. We can win. You do it through obedience and baptism when you believe on His name and are willing to confess His name to men.
Yes.
And when you come up out of that water, you will be free.
Amen.
Free of sin.
That's all right.
And now the Lord will continue to fight. You're going to mess up. Don't you see the servant of God here, Jehoshaphat? He messed up, but he didn't quit on God, did he?
No.
And that's the key. We keep fighting the fight, all the while recognizing that we're only going to win because God is going to be with us.
Amen.
I don't know what your spiritual need might be this morning. Maybe you need to be baptized into the body to take advantage of this deal that we've talked about. Perhaps you're already a Christian and you know that you've sinned and you know that you haven't done right. What's wrong with you? You know the answer, don't you? Get back on track.
That's it.
Yeah. Don't stay in your state. Whatever your spiritual need may be, just come forward and let it be known as we stand and sing.